On a day with snow in the forecast, enjoying classical music on a grassy hillside seems like a very far-off thing. And it is more than 6 months before the orchestra takes up a three-week residency at their Brit Festival grounds in Jacksonville. But that season has already been announced. The musical selections, most of them, were announced a couple of weeks ago, and we have the maestro with us now. Teddy Abrams is the Brit Classical Festival musical director and conductor, and our guest once again. Teddy, good to have you back.
Thanks so much for having me.
Sure. Where are you? I mean, we never seem to know from week to week which city you're going to be in with all the many gigs you have.
Well, sometimes I feel the same way, but I'm very happily at my other home, which is Louisville, Kentucky, where I'm the music director of the Louisville Orchestra. And actually, we're just announcing our season here. So I've got lots of programs in my head right now, and I consider both places my home. I'm very, very fortunate that that I've got two amazing towns, in both places, neither population knows about the other, really. You know, I've got Southern Oregon and this town in Kentucky, but they're both amazing places.
I wonder if you have economies of scale. When you pick the season for one, do you include some things that the other will play?
I do try a little bit of overlap, and actually, it's been really great that both organizations have been able to work together on some big projects. For instance, last year's world premiere of a piece by Lev Zurbin was a collaborative premiere. We did it in Louisville this season, then we did it at Brit in the summer. So we got together to support that, and we're going to continue working on a number of projects that we share. And actually, it's fun. You get to try one thing out in one place and see how it goes, and then bring it out to the other one. So there's been a lot of symbiosis there.
All right. There was one piece in particular at the Brit season that was rather unique to the Brits region because it celebrated Crater Lake. Let's hear a little bit of Natural History by Michael Gordon. So that is Natural History again, which was commissioned to observe the 100th anniversary of the National Park Service. It's specifically about Crater Lake. I never asked you, Teddy, about the logistics involved. You have orchestras, singers, drummers all arrayed around you. How difficult was it to pull that off?
Unbelievably difficult. And it is one of the things that, on behalf of everybody at Brit and all the folks that came together to make this happen, along with our friends at the National Park Service, it is one of the proudest things I think we've accomplished, and certainly the largest single undertaking in Brit's history. And what you are hearing really is the combination of over a year and a half worth of work to make this possible. And it's a combination of a full orchestra, 30 instrumentalists playing brass, woodwind, and percussion parts that are all from the community of Southern Oregon, in addition to the full orchestra, a full chorus, and then the Klamath tribe contributing an extraordinary component with their vocal and drumming performance. And that entire thing came together in a world premiere that we commissioned by the extraordinary composer Michael Gordon. And so this was just this synthesis of so many people and such an extraordinary energy. And then we played it literally at the rim of Crater Lake, right there, not just at the kind of the grassier areas that are off to the side from Crater Lake, but we took it to different places, including on the very edge, looking down, I mean, about a foot away from the rim of the crater, which is extraordinary. I mean, I guess there are no words to describe it. It was a once-in-a-lifetime experience, but we did make a video of it that's currently in production, a full documentary about the experience. So that will be coming out soon.
Okay, I'll be looking for that. Yeah, it was somebody's phone video from YouTube that we plucked that version from just now. You have a couple of theme nights that are very distinct this year. In fact, the first night on July 28th at the Brit Festival in Jacksonville is a West Coast Composers Celebration. And give us an idea of who you have to choose from here.
Well, it's actually very hard to choose, and of course, there are certain West Coast composers that people might immediately think of, obviously John Adams being one of the most important living composers, and he was up at the Brit Festival two seasons ago. He came to hear a performance of his piece that we did called Absolute Jest, and actually John was there with another West Coast composer, his son Sam, whom we also performed, but this particular program tries to look at the breadth and depth of these composers. And so it started with this tradition that we've begun here, where every season opens with a world premiere of some kind on its first program. and we wanted to commission a West Coast composer, and specifically an Oregon composer, and that is going to be Kenji Bunch, who I think is a very, very special artist and somebody who combines elements of populism with a really fascinating approach to the orchestral sound world. And he's writing a piece that's inspired by this state. And so that was when the idea of, well, why don't we turn this whole program into a celebration of the West Coast came about. And so, of course, we're including John Adams because this is actually his 70th birthday year. And then Andrew Norman, who I have nothing but the highest respect for. He is I hate to even say up-and-coming composer, but this last year, I think he was Musical America's Composer of the Year. He won the Grandmeyer Award for his composition Play, which is the biggest prize in composition. And so I'm thrilled to represent him with his orchestral piece Unstuck, which is completely nuts and crazy and will be super fun. Mason Bates, who was also up here at Brit, two seasons ago, and he's become kind of a favorite of the Brit Festival. We played his big piece, fantastic anthology of zoology last season, and so he's going to have his cello concerto played here. But also Mio is a composer you might not know, but he wrote a famous work called The Creation of the World, and this is an older generation of West Coast composers. He came from France and moved to teach at Mills College, but this work now is several generations past. And we're closing out with John Williams, just as a kind of a little reminder that one of the great musical generators is right there, of course, in L.A., where a tremendous amount of music is produced and composed, and John represents the very best of that.
Let me come back to Kenji Bunch, because this is the world premiere, as yet, I assume, not quite written, maybe not even begun, I don't know, but I just want people to hear a little bit of Kenji Bunch. This is a Super Maximum. So I grabbed that from somewhere in the middle when it begins to develop a real rhythmic and harmonic sort of presence there, and yet, you know, it starts off sort of more percussion than anything else, and you're wondering where it's going to go. So it's gotten to some place here. Really interesting work. This is done by the Portland Youth Philharmonic, I should point out, with David Hattner conducting. When you commission a work for Kenji Bunch or anybody else, I mean, do you give any particular input to the composer before the composer gets started?
Well, that's a great question, and it can go in any direction. So, for instance, when we commissioned last year's piece by Lev Zurbin, we really said, this is up to you. We want it to be an opening work that's somewhere in between 8 and 12 minutes long, but this is totally your call in terms of the direction you go with this. We love help, but we left all the parameters open. With Kenji, we actually moved in a little bit more specific direction, but still providing a wide open field. Basically, we were so excited about what happened with the Michael Gordon piece, which really spoke to both the kind of essence of the people of Southern Oregon because of its involvement with the Klamath tribe, but also the place itself. And we thought we would want to do a series of commissions throughout the next few years that explore Oregon, explore the people that live there, and that's where this commissioning idea came from. And already his music does have a very kind of descriptive, sometimes landscape element. There's a kind of post-minimal quality to some of it that is very descriptive in that way, kind of giving you a place and a setting. And so that was one of the reasons why we gave that approach. But that still means it's up to him. We asked for it to be in a couple of movements, so we're expecting a three-movement work, but you never really know with composers. I mean, once they get going, I know I set out to write a piece that was supposed to be 15 minutes long in December and turned out to be 75 minutes.
So, wow.
That just, you know, it's just once sometimes things come to you and that's what you end up doing. So this is but that's one of the exciting things about an orchestral performance of a work for the first time. It's really an adventure. It really is.
With a commissioned work, is there any visiting during the process, emailing of scores, or do you have enough clarinets to pull this off, that sort of thing?
Yes, we do give some parameters about that, because when somebody writes a piece, and I have seen this before, for like 12 bass clarinets, not even sure if we could find 12 bass clarinets. So, I mean, you have to say, well, this is the maximum size orchestra you can use. If you want to do something really special with, you know, like a found instrument or something like that, or you decide to ask the percussion to build their own, you know, set of bells or something, you know, we can discuss it. But generally, here's the cap. And we have said to Kenji that because this piece is about Oregon and the setting and his experience there, that we've made all the resources of Brit available to him, that he can come visit Jacksonville and the site itself to experience that as he's writing the piece. Just like Michael Gordon actually went to went to Crater Lake during the winter even and lived up there at one of the cabins to work on his composition. So we think that that's a big part of this process. It tells a story that is, I think, a little more compelling and a lot more connected to the people who are going to hear the piece than simply, kind of doing a mail order composition.
Teddy Abrams is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the music director of the Brit Classical Festival, which gets going on July 28th of this year. So the first weekend, last weekend in July, and then three weekends in August, it looks like this time. So all kinds of stuff to talk about with the Brit festivals and here on the Jefferson Exchange. So the second weekend, which is the weekend of August 4th, 5th, 6th, we're talking about symphonic exploration, which includes some fairly well-known pieces like Bach's Brandenburg Concerto No. 3.
Yes, exactly.
So, Teddy, how much effort into mixing the familiar works with the newer stuff? I mean, you're trying to achieve a balance, I would assume. I mean, does it get the numerical things like, well, we're 45% Bach now, we need to be, whatever?
Well, it's always a question of balance, because many of the people that have come to Brit and love Brit and would be considered lifelong fans of Brit love certain elements of the repertoire because they know that repertoire very well. And so that means compositions by say, Brahms or Beethoven, Bach, Mozart, they are extraordinary. They're works of genius. They're brilliant and inspired pieces, and they deserve their place at any orchestral festival or performance. But at the same time, we wouldn't have all of those composers if it hadn't been for the climate when they were alive, which really favored, in fact, sometimes exclusively favored, new compositions. So during Mozart's era, it was extraordinarily rare to hear any older piece of music performed. The vast majority of music that was played was written by living composers for the specific occasion at which it was heard. Very rarely were pieces repeated multiple times, maybe a few times here or there in different towns, more like kind of a touring band would take its new album to a few different places and then work on the next one. And that was just the musical profile of the time. And so I'm so interested in combining these two things, because it really, of course, would be a giant shame, and it was a giant shame, that composers like Mozart never had access to the entire canon of Bach, and composers like Brahms had to go and rediscover Bach, but didn't know much of the composers of the classical era. And so how can we balance those things? And you look at this program that includes the Bach Brandenburg Concerto, and it includes, say, a symphony by Mozart, and it includes a movement of Schubert's Unfinished Symphony. But it also includes lots of other music from antiquity that you probably don't know. Works by Monteverdi and Salomone Rossi and William Byrd that are almost never played. And the whole thinking here was that it's not just modern compositions that deserve a voice. It's also the unexplored repertoire of the past that is so special and deserves a place on that stage. So that's kind of a twist on this antiquities program.
Okay, so a binary question just about the overall season, and I misspoke. It is 3 weekends, not 4. 3 weekends, but 7 concerts. So the two halves of the question are, what is the piece that's most likely to make people say, oh, I know that, and what's the piece to make people most likely say, what is that?
Oh, gosh, that is a great question. And it's so interesting these days, because even in the last 20 years, the profile of what people actually know has dramatically changed. I would say even 30, 40 years ago, you could very reasonably expect that most concert audiences would know all the Beethoven symphonies, all the Brahms symphonies, all the Tchaikovsky symphonies. But we found that now with a lot of audiences, and this is not a complaint at all, I actually think this is awesome, that a lot of times people have not heard of even kind of core repertoire work. So how cool is that we get to introduce them to it? So I would say probably... I actually know this for a fact. The John Williams works that we're playing are going to be the best known, far beyond the knowledge anybody would have of even, say, the Brahms Violin Concerto, which is a very, very famous work, or the Mozart Hofner Symphony, which is up there with that. And the work that will surprise people the most, or that invites the most exploration, well, certainly Mahler, uh-huh. but also Michael Telson Thomas's work that is coming up on the season.
Okay,
which nobody will have heard before.
All right, all kinds of great stuff coming to the Brit Hill in July and August for 7 concerts. Teddy Abrams is the music director of the Brit Classical Festival. Always good to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
All right, take care.